If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Malachi 3 for one more week. It was one of those things this week, I got everything done and I was feeling so great, and I got up this morning and it was like, you know, you remember that thing that you were supposed to do, but you thought that you did everything, and I was like, oh Lord, I didn't do tithes and offering. And he's like, yes you do, he got it. And I was like, what? And he's like, talk about the first part, but in a different way than they've ever seen it before. So I was like, okay. So he just dropped it into my heart this morning. And so you get a word from your Father this morning. Amen? So the truth about tithing. We're going to look at Malachi 3, and we're going to start in verse 10. Actually, we'll start in verse 8. Because you know what? Sometimes you just need to hear something over and over until it sinks in. And it says in verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. You know, a lot of times when I've heard pastors speak on this, and even in my own reading, I've seen God as being angry, right? Because what has he said? Will a man rob God? You have robbed me. It's almost like you feel this heaviness that's going with it. And what the Lord showed me this morning is he said, well, actually Jesus said in the New Testament, if a good father won't give his son a serpent instead of bread, how much more I, as your heavenly Father, will do good things for you. So when I started reading this, and everybody has their own backgrounds for their dads, but I just want to give you an example of a godly dad that was a good dad, and that was my dad. And if my dad were trying to tell me something, even if I were in trouble, it wouldn't be with this hateful, mean, looking down on me attitude. It wouldn't be. It would be in love. He would be telling me this way, oh man, will a man rob God? And yet you're robbing me. And yet you say, where have we robbed you? Oh, children, in your tithes and your offerings. Do you hear the difference in how I said it the second time? It's you get the heart of our Heavenly Father, right? He's not up there going, you've robbed me. You know, like used to hear those old, like the Moses, that voice. I think it was the same guy in a lot of the old Moses movies when the Lord would speak and it would be this terrible booming voice. And yes, he has that voice, but not for his kids. That's the voice for the world. But the voice for his kids is loving. There's love that motivates him. Amen? And so that's why I want you to look at this today. And it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. And he's what he's saying. I don't want your money because I want your money. I want your money because I want to do something for you. And because there are laws in place, I can't do that for you unless you do this for yourselves. If you bring that into the storehouse, then I can bless you. I can take care of you, right? That's his father heart today. So I asked Luke to bring up this umbrella because this is what the Lord showed me. When you're standing under an umbrella, it's protection, right? And I know it's not going to protect you if a metal thing falls on you or if, you know, something, you know, heavy. But the idea is you're under a canopy. You're covered, right? When you bring your tithes and your offerings into the storehouse of God, this is what happens to your life. He covers everything. And then it says that he'll open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. So everywhere you go, if you kind of can see this in your mind, you're carrying this heavenly umbrella. So everywhere, it doesn't matter what's going on. All around you, doesn't matter. You are covered under the umbrella. of his blessing. And his blessing here, when he says he pours out a blessing we can't contain, this morning I felt like he put on my heart and he said, it's so much more than money. It's peace. It's having peace in your homes. It's having health. It's having where things might go wrong for everybody else, but they don't go wrong for you. Or when they do go wrong, he provides. He blesses you, right? So what happens when you stop tithing? Honey, could you come here for a second? Be part of the illustrated sermon today. So this is what happens when you stop tithing. Oh, sorry. So poke his eye out. Okay, can you hold the umbrella?
Yes.
This is what happens. Right now, I'm covered. But when I stop tithing, I do this. And this is where the world says, well, see, your God doesn't care about you. No, there are laws that are in effect. Just like if you jump off a building, you are going to fall to the ground, right? There are laws into effect. As long as you are tithing, you stay under the covering of God. When you step out, it's not his problem, it's my problem. I moved outside of the covering of God. Amen. Now, so often, this is how I've seen God, standing there with the covering. But he showed me this morning, it's just like the song. He's constantly, can you follow me? Mm-hmm. He's constantly going, child, wait a second, wait, you need to tithe. Wait, I want to cover you. Because if he's our heavenly, thank you, if he's our heavenly father, and he wants to do things even greater than an earthly father, if my dad knew I was in trouble, he's not going to sit at home with a remote watching TV. He's going to come help me. He's going to come find me wherever it is that I am. He's going to come after me to help me. And I'm here to tell you today, if there are things going on in our finances, we need to ask ourselves, did I step outside of my covering? And if you did, get back under there quick. And here's the amazing thing. He's probably already standing right behind you with the umbrella, just waiting for you to get back underneath the covering. Because that's the heart of God. What does he give the illustration when the prodigal son? When the prodigal son went away, didn't tithe, did his own things, wasted all his money, what was the father doing when the son came home? He was watching. He was looking afar off, and he saw the son before the son saw him, and he ran. There was an old song called When God Ran. The whole story along that whole line was the prodigal son, and it talks about how God ran. When he saw me coming, he ran to me, took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, my son or my daughter has come home again. That's the Father's heart. He wants to cover you. He wants to bless you. So in order to stay under the blessing, bring all those tithes and offerings into the storehouse. Amen? Then you're covered. Then all the blessings can flow. Beyond money, the peace. I was thinking about it this week. You know, when graduation comes, there's a lot of things that start happening in the kids' lives around you. And like Lindsay was saying yesterday when we were talking, she's like, Mom, I guess I just didn't realize quite what we had. This is it right here. When you're a tither and you're a giver, God covers you. He covers you. He covers your children. He covers your grandchildren. He protects what's yours. Amen? So bring your tithes into the storehouse so that you can stay covered. Amen? I don't know about you, but I want to stay under the blessing of God. I want to live in that place all my life. Amen? And that is the truth about tithing. God is not out to get something from you. He's not out to take from you. He's out to get to you. Last week, we gave an amazing offering. It was the biggest missions offering we've ever given. We gave $10,000. And I'm here to tell you that for whatever reason, the Lord just keeps anointing our missions. And we gave out $10,000, and last week we had over $11,000 come in for missions. I looked at Rose when we were doing the thing, and I said, we just can't give quick enough. He just keeps putting it back in. Because that's what God wants to do. He wants to bless us. Why? Because we're showing him we're not afraid to be faithful. A lot of churches would look at that and go, oh, you better keep that. You know, what if it's a rough year next year? You know, you may not have enough. I love my husband. Hey, we got the biggest, you know, let's give the biggest offering we've ever given to missions. Hallelujah. It was the biggest one we'd ever received that last year. For those of you who weren't here, it was over $32,000 that were given to missions last year. He's like, it was the biggest year yet. Let's give the biggest offering. Amen. And for those of you who weren't here last week, Randy shared how that the Lord had told him if he would purchase the land, the Lord would build the building. And he's like, I haven't even been able to purchase the land, and the Lord's already providing the building. Do you see how God works? It's amazing. When we stay under the covering, he provides and blesses. Grab a tithes and offerings. Father, we just thank you so much for the truth of tithing that we've been learning in Malachi, Father. Just a couple verses, and yet these are amazing truths, Father, that if we will listen to them and act on them, Father, we are going to live such amazing, blessed lives. The people around us are going to take notice and go, wait, what's going on? And we're going to be able to share with them the goodness of God. And we just thank you, Father. That's our hearts, is not just us. Although we know you want us to be blessed as your kids, but we want to be blessed to be a blessing. And Lord, we just praise you and we thank you, Father, for the things that you are doing in our hearts and our minds and our lives and in our finances. And Father, I just praise you for the covering that we have when we are tithers and givers. And we just thank you for that today. Bless every seed that's sown, and bless the sower, and anoint the rest of the service in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Woo!
Well, praise the Lord. Stretch your hands out toward the giving nets, and let's make a declaration of faith. Just say, I believe, I receive the blessing of God on my finances. Harvesting angels, go. Gather in my harvest. I call in debt cancellation, increase, raises, promotions, inheritances, businesses, ministries, vehicles, jobs, training, education, vision. I receive it all in the mighty name of Jesus. Spirit, spiritual blessing, financial blessing in every area of my life, in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you so much for your faithfulness and giving, and don't forget to be a receiver. Amen. I had the honor of receiving that direct quote from Oral Roberts. I got to meet him once, and he said, Steve, he wrote it in my, he signed my autobiography, but he wrote his autobiography, I had him autograph it, and he said, Steve, always remember, be a sower and a reaper. Some people forget the being a reaper part, amen? But somebody say, not me, I'm a reaper, amen? Praise the Lord. Well, I think we can dismiss the kids now, amen? Praise the Lord. God is so good, he is so good, he is so good, he is so good. Amen. If I seem a little bit like I'm floating around today, I picked up my daughter at 1 a.m. from her senior parties. Me and Lacey went and got her, and it was a lot of fun, amen? And she left early at 1 a.m, amen? They were still going, praise God. But praise the Lord for his promotions and graduations and assignments. And somebody say, we just always got to stay in an attitude of learning. Attitude of learning. Heath Moore was talking about this last Sunday at his church, about reminding people to, thank you, for I can tell y'all like, what, that's coming. But it's reminding people to stay hungry, to always be in the attitude of continuing education for whatever it is God has called you to do, especially in the Word of God, right? But whatever little caveat or thing he's got you doing. Somebody say, there is no retirement with Jesus. Amen. Even when we get to heaven, I believe we're all going to get an assignment. It's not like, here's your cloud, just go float away and angels will fly by and drop grapes in your mouth. And no. Somebody say, it's a kingdom, man, right? It's going to be awesome. So just somebody say, stay at it. Stay at it. Amen. God is good. Let's pray over this message. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. We just give you all the praise and glory, and we receive your words. Somebody say, Lord, I receive your words today. In Jesus' mighty name. Don't you know God's words bring freedom, bring liberty, bring his blessing, bring his wisdom? How many of you could use God's wisdom in some area of your life? Amen. I know I could, right? And that's something we can believe him for. And we don't have to go looking for it on the outside, because the Holy Ghost, where does the Holy Ghost reside if you're born again, right? If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, then he is on the inside of me. On the inside, and he is the counselor, right? So we just pray in the Holy Ghost, believe him for his wisdom, amen. And I want to share something just as we're getting into this morning. Just in that vein of, you are Holy Ghost baptized. You are the church. I'm pastoring the church, and that's biblical, amen. But you are baptized in the Holy Ghost. Be sensitive for when the Holy Spirit gives you something that he may want you to share. Amen, because somebody out there might need to hear something you have to share. I so appreciate, not to embarrass Brother Reed, but he came to me this morning. You know that scripture that says God gives us psalms and spiritual songs and these kind of things? Brother Reed gets a song sometimes. Not sometimes, a lot of times, amen? And so he came to me this morning and said he has a song in his heart regarding Psalm 23. And I asked him if he'd be willing to just come up and share that. And on Father's Day, he's going to be ready, amen? So... Yeah, hallelujah. I'm putting him on the spot. Hallelujah. But you know what? There's power in that. There is power in the body being the body. Amen? And so if you ever feel like we're worshiping God and just the Holy Ghost says something to you that you've, and it's just, I usually am standing right over here. Just come tell me. Amen? Or if we have a quiet moment and we have a word that comes out in another tongue and you feel like God gave you the interpretation of it, right? Not the translation, the interpretation of it, amen? Then just let her fly. Hallelujah, right? Somebody to say, I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost. And if God gives you something to share, maybe something during the week, you're just going around town doing your thing and, oh man, something regarding the church or something happening in the church, email Shelley, right? And, you know, don't be offended if it doesn't get shared or, you know, that kind of thing. Just let us be the ones to decide that. The Lord will show us, okay, that's for this or that's for that, or no, we're just going to not. I had one person, bless her heart, actually leave the church years ago because she had what she believed was a prophetic word for somebody in our body at that time that was very negative. And I said, sister, no. But the Holy Ghost told me, the Holy Ghost, no, sister, no. We're not going to share that with them. And then she did not receive the correction. She went and wrote a letter and gave it to somebody else in the church. And at that point, we said, ma'am, you have two choices. Either repent, or if I hear this in public, if I hear anybody bring this outside of this, we will ask you to leave. Because you did not receive correction, and she chose to not come back. Just a sweet lady, but she didn't receive correction. Amen? That's why somebody said, that's why you have a pastor. Amen. And we make mistakes too, right? But just be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. If he gives you something to share, somebody else may need to hear that. Amen. So hallelujah. But today's message, I was feeling stirred to move on from this, but it's kind of like flypaper. I'm just stuck to it right now, right? And so I think we've got a couple more of these. Somebody say, fight the good fight of faith. And can we bump our lights up a little bit so you guys can see your notes and stuff? Maybe, Randy, if you just slide it up a little bit so everyone can see their... There we go. You can see my face and I can see your face. Praise God. Fight the good fight of faith, 1 Timothy 6:12 says, lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Glory to God. Don't you know there are many witnesses? And they're not just physical witnesses, but spiritual witnesses. Amen? There's a cloud of witnesses the Bible talks about. There's angels. This room is not just filled with us. This room is filled with heavenly beings called angels right now. And that's why it's so important that you go to a church that preaches you the Word of God, because they're waiting for assignments. In our words, the things that we say, the preaching, the praying, the praising, gives them an assignment to go and accomplish. That's why, like, when we receive the offering and we make that declaration of faith, when we start with our declaration of faith at the beginning and we're preaching God's words, they're getting assignments for things that need to be done. Amen? And so that's a great many witnesses listening to our words, listening to your faith. Amen? But I was, you know, feeling stirred to move into some things on Father's Day and, you know, the fatherhood of God, and John chapter 8 is going to be a big chapter, I think, next week. And even the thing that Brother Reed shared with me has a lot to do about the fatherhood of God. And just an awesome thing, right? But I just couldn't get out of this this morning, right? And I think one good thing to remember in this fight of faith is to make sure your armor of God is on. Amen? Somebody say, armor up. Armor up. And Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 talks about the armor of God. Amen? And if you're going somewhere in armor, it must mean there's a battle. Right? And I love, you know, Pastor Huck, back in the day when we were New Beginnings people in Northeast Portland, he would say, you know, the Bible doesn't say put on the tutu of God. It says put on the armor of God, right? Because there is a battle to be won. Amen? And Jesus is, how many know Jesus has already won the battle? But if you put on his armor, the devil's going to think you're him. If he comes to your house and he sees you in God's armor, he's going to think, wrong house. Right? Glory to God. So as we're heading towards the conclusion of this Fight the Good Fight of Faith series, I like the way this begins. Finally, my brethren, we've gone through a lot of different messages, and finally, my brethren and sistren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Praise the Lord, it's his might. Amen. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the schemes, the plots, the strategies, the trickery of the devil, right? So therefore, you know, we can just say it this way: if I don't have God's armor on, I won't be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And there's a lot of Christians out there walking around, you know, in flip-flops and swimsuits and, you know, like they're on vacation in the middle of a war zone. This isn't the Love Boat. This is a battleship, right? And the love of God is awesome. But you know what I'm saying, right? This isn't a pleasure cruise. I was listening to Happy Caldwell preach this morning. He's a great, great man of God. And he was teaching Kenneth Copeland Bible College, and they were replaying a portion. And he says, you know, a lot of people think the faith message is just about getting stuff. And he goes, that ain't what it's about. It's about being the blessing of God in your world. Amen? So this isn't about being a pleasure cruise. This is about being armored up, remembering we're in a battle, remembering there is a devil, and his plan is to steal, kill, and destroy. But somebody say, not me, not my house, not my church, not my nation. Man, I would encourage you to be, there's a great news broadcast called, Flashpoint. If you just Google Flashpoint on Victory Network and watch some of those broadcasts, Victory News is another one. Don't be a news junkie, right? But the cool thing about Flashpoint is there's a prophetic spin to it. And after our elections and all the goofiness that happened through all that, I just kind of got burned out on some of the prophetic stuff, but the Lord really corrected me and brought me back to it and said, Steve, you remember Isaiah? You remember Micah? You remember Jonah? You remember Ezekiel? You remember anybody named Jeremiah? Not everything was going exactly right with them either, Steve, but they just kept saying and saying and saying and saying. How about Jesus? Paul, right? Somebody say, just keep saying what God says to say. And that's the cool thing about this broadcast flashpoint, is that they're saying what God has been saying to keep saying. Amen? In faith regarding our nation, right? Man, this brother Frank Kuhneman, talking about God gave him the phrase, the unmasking. There is an unmasking coming of the things the devil has been trying to mask, and all this, you know, the symbolism of the things spiritually behind what we've been dealing with. Brother Copeland got this morning at Eagle Mountain, and his opening statement was, isn't it amazing, this virus, that, man, all you got to do is be 6 feet apart, and it just kills it. Is this just some of the goofiness around things the enemy's been trying to do in our nation, right? But somebody say, stick with God's word. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it sounds like, no matter what it feels like, just keep saying what he says. Agree with his word. Agree with his prophets. Amen? Hallelujah. For verse 12 says this, we do not wrestle against Democrats. We do not wrestle against liberals. We do not wrestle against rhinos. We do not wrestle against religious people. We don't wrestle against one another. We don't wrestle with Iran and with North Korea, and you know what I'm saying, right? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this age. Right? Somebody say principalities, powers, and rulers of the darkness of this age. Amen? So see, the devil even has a hierarchy. Right? Principalities, powers, rulers. There are devils assigned and principalities and powers assigned to the Northwest. Just drive through Portland and you'll get a feel, right? Have you ever driven across, I mean, for me, when I moved over here, there's just a different spiritual climate in Clark County. I come across the bridge and it's like, whew, I'm not cursing anybody in Oregon. Stay in Oregon. Believe in Oregon. We need God's plan in Oregon. And believe me, I can see it from my house almost, right? But we're believing God to break through in this region of our nation. Amen? And we don't do that by wrestling with governors and wrestling with Congress. Now, they should hear from us. We're Americans. They should hear from us. Hallelujah. Please vote no on H1 and H5. Thank you for your service. Right? Amen. So we speak up, but our warfare is in the spirit realm, because we've identified who the enemy is. Amen? Glory to God. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, darkness, powers and rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Amen? In the heavens out there. Hovering out there in the spirit, in the heavens. The cool thing to think about this, the reason the devil has to hover out there in the heavenly places is because he doesn't own anything. Right? He doesn't own this. He's the god of this world, but he's been expelled from it. He's been given his eviction notice. He certainly doesn't rule in heaven. But the heavenly places means the atmosphere of this planet. Right? Where he's been trying to take over for many, many years. Therefore, here goes verse 13. Take up the whole armor of God. So we're talking about spiritual armor. Amen? That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, somebody say, to stand. Stand. Somebody say, I stand. So once you've got your armor on, you're in the word, you're in faith. It's one of the things I love about Victory News and Flashpoint, is they'll tell you what's happening, but they'll keep saying, now stay in faith, Amen? And I so appreciate that. So after you get this armor on, you're in the Word, you know what you're believing God for, somebody say, stand. Take your stand of faith and do not move from it. Hallelujah. Because if we don't have this armor on, if we don't have the Word of God, amen, then we will not be able to withstand. And there's Christians by the droves that have quit for whatever reason. Maybe some sort of sin issue. Maybe they got offended at something. Maybe they just decided everyone's nuts and we don't want nothing to do with it. Somebody made me mad at church. The weather's too rainy. It's too hot. There's something good on TV. Right? I don't have to go to church. Jesus didn't go to church. Just ignorant things. Ignorant things like this, right? And so they're getting their lunch eaten by the devil every day, right? But somebody say, not me, not me. I will stand in faith and be not moved from it. Hallelujah. So I want to look at these next several verses and give you some support verses for them as well, right? Hallelujah. So verse 14 says this. We're going to go through the armor. We're going to go through the armor. Everyone's going to, you know, see the individual pieces of the armor. But Keith Moore was teaching on this as well recently. And he said, you know, we shouldn't get too focused on the armor itself, but what the armor is, right? Like righteousness, truth, right? Gospel of peace. Amen? Not focused on the individual. It's symbolism here, okay? Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Amen? John 17:17 says this. Jesus says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Now, where sanctify means set them apart. Don't you know we are called to be set apart from the rest of the world? Amen? Christians ought not be out there drinking and fornicating and doing weed and gossiping and slandering and racism and all this kind of stuff. Somebody say, that is not God's people. And skipping church because they don't feel like going. Amen? God is calling us to a life of sanctification in Jesus. And we do that by honoring His Word. And one thing I heard someone teach many years ago about the armor of God, I think it might have been Larry Lee, is that the belt of truth, it's covering the reproductive parts of our body. So Lord, I thank you that your truth is being reproduced in my life. I just love that. Amen? And then he says this, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Hallelujah. And 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Somebody say, I am the righteousness of God in Jesus. Now, spiritually, you know, positionally, you and I, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that guards your heart. Amen. That means this guilt complex or condemnation or, you know, the accusations of the devil, you are protected by the righteousness of God. And you know, when the devil comes to point his finger at you and talk about you're just an old sinner, well, that thought you thunk or that thing you did or whatever, and you just remind him, no, Mr. Devil, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because what I'm really saying, if I agree with him, if I agree with the devil and say, yes, you're right, I am an old sinner, then what I'm also saying is that I can somehow earn this righteousness on my own. Well, yesterday I had a really good day, devil. Somebody say, outside of Jesus, we're hopeless. Amen? So we put on that breastplate of righteousness and it protects our heart, amen, from the devil, from accusations, from condemnations and guilt and so forth and so on. And the sanctification part we just talked about is a process. The righteousness part is who we are positionally in Christ Jesus forever. The sanctification part is us coming to God's word, finding out what the word says, and doing that. Amen? Kind of the repentance part of it, right? Yes, Lord, I thank you that you've forgiven me of that sin, and now I'm going to repent of that sin. I'm going to stop doing that. That's sanctification, and the Holy Ghost helps us with that. Amen? And the word of God helps us with that. And then verse 15 says this, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Amen? And Romans 10:15 says it this way, how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Amen? So spreading the gospel, putting on our gospel shoes, running with Jesus, getting the gospel preached to the world is part of the armor of God, isn't it? Remembering the peace of God that passes all understanding and guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. But getting the gospel preached, your giving. That's one of the things I thought of when Shelley was talking about the umbrella. When it says, you know, we ought not be robbing God. Well, what are we robbing God of? Money? Can we rob God of money? No, one thing I thought of this morning is we're robbing him of souls. If we're not sowing into the gospel and getting the gospel preached, then somebody is not getting saved because the gospel's not getting to them. Amen? A church isn't open or whatever. Amen? So get the gospel preached. The devil hates the gospel. Somebody say, get the gospel preached around the world. Amen? Last Sunday, Mission Sunday, when you sowed that $10,000 into Mexico and the work God is doing there that's going to potentially reach Muslim people, and I'm just like, wow. Amen? So that's part of the gospel, the armor of God that we all wear. Somebody say, put your gospel shoes on. We're standing on God's word in every area of our life, right? And above all, verse 16 says, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts, all the fiery darts, it says, of the wicked one. Glory to God. And 1 John 5:4 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Somebody say, thank you, Lord, for faith. I rely completely and totally upon you for my salvation. And that shield, it says, above all, holding that shield of faith up. Amen? And that shield of faith is a spiritual shield that covers and protects you from the attacks of the enemy. Amen? God's truth, your trust in him, you understand that it's about Jesus and what he's done, not about me and what I have or haven't done, right? We have our faith in God, and that covers and protects us. And I believe you can stretch that shield over your family in prayer when you intercede. A lot of you are intercessory. We should all be interceding, right? Over our communities, over our schools, over our nation. Hallelujah. Over our families. You just stretch that shield in the spirit. You become like those Marvel comic guys, you know, that just whoo. We are. You know, we're Jesus superheroes. That's what we're talking about, right? Amen? Glory to God. So take the shield of faith. Hallelujah. Whatever is born of God, somebody say, that's me. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Don't you know, literally, and we're talking spiritually here, but that's literally going to happen. It's called the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? There's a rapture coming where we go home to be with Jesus and party for 7 years. Lindsay partied last night with her senior friends till about 1 a.m. We're talking about a 7-year party. While this place is going somewhere in a handbasket, we're partying. Then the world, a lot of these nations of the world decide to go and wipe Israel off the map. They're not asking people to show their vaccination card now. They're asking them to scan their forehead or their wrist so that they can live on this planet. All this stuff that we've been dealing with is literally the opening act getting people used to the idea, for your safety, you're going to have to get this little microchip, it's not even science fiction anymore, in your hand or in your forehead. That way we'll always know where you are, and we can come get you, and you can get food and toilet paper. Can you imagine someone getting the mark for toilet paper? No! Amen. But 7 years after that, when these nations come to attack Israel, Jesus is going to say, saddle up, family. We're going to take back what's ours. Woom! Isn't that magnificent? So literally, we're talking spiritually here. Be practicing in the spirit because it's happening. That's why we can refuse the devil's attacks on our nation. Amen? We can say, no, devil, this nation was founded on God's word. Hallelujah. And we pray and we vote. And if God leads us to get involved in some way in a school board or whatever, right, he'll show you. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says it this way, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Somebody say, I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. So we ought not walk around saying stuff like, Lord, I just don't know what you're doing. I have no idea what you want me to do. I just don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Somebody say, stop saying that. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Trust the Lord. Look at his word. Especially on things that are just, oh, that's one of the things I was reading in John 8 this yesterday, studying it. And these Pharisees just challenged Jesus, challenged Jesus, challenged Jesus. All the while, there's all these people that need to have stuff broken off of them. But he has to deal with this unbelief thing here. And this religion and this tradition. And how many people never got their breakthrough because they listened to the Pharisees instead of Jesus? And Jesus was having to continually just, da, 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 da. Somebody say, we ought not be in the way holding back the miracles of God because of our limited thinking. Amen? If Jesus said, I'm your healer, where's the discussion in this? Yeah, but my knee says, well, so what my knee says? The word says, I am healed. That's called the mind of Christ. Yeah, I know what the word says, but I've got this problem. And well, so what? Right? What's the word say? Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Yeah, I know what the word says, but you see, I just hate these people over here. And just, no, 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 that's not what the word. The word says love, 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 love. Love your enemies. Bless those who persecute you, right? Amen? And so somebody say, just do what the word says. Get the mind of Christ and mind it. Amen? I'm preaching to me too this morning. it's a great confession to make every day. I have the mind of Christ. And Christ is the anointed one. I have that anointing working on the inside of me, bringing about change. Amen? Bringing about God's power into the situation. And then it says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Hallelujah. Matthew 16, 19 says this, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. This right here is your keychain, isn't it? The word of God. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That's why we've got to get control of our mouth. Amen? Because if you said it, you prayed it. Amen? And some being out there is listening. Right? There are good angels and there are fallen angels. And they're both listening for permission. They can't do anything without an invitation to do it, right? So that's why we say, you know what, Satan, in the name of Jesus, I bind you off of this nation. And I loosen the power of God on this nation. and the angels say, so be it, we'll do it. Or if we just say, if we get out there and go, man, now, Lord, I'm just saying this as an example, okay? Get out there, man, my knee is killing me. Angels go, what? Is that what he wants? Devils go, bingo! Attack, right? Somebody say, no, 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 no. You know, grandpa died at 62, grandma died at 61, I'll probably die at 57. Somebody say, no! No, I bind that off of my life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I loosen long and abundant and healthy life in my body and in my family. Somebody say amen. Whatever I bind on earth will be bound in heaven. See, so often we think we're waiting on God to do something when really all of heaven is waiting on me to do something, to say something. Amen? This church is a great example. When the Lord began to stir in us to do this, you'd kind of like there to be, you know, obvious things, you know, places and structure and all that kind of stuff, and it just wasn't there in the natural. But we knew the Lord was calling us to step out. Somebody say, step out and do it, and then he shows up. Amen? And it's such a great way to live. Amen? So whatever you bind on earth, now don't just say anything. Find a scripture or two or three and stand on this. Right? Amen? By his stripes I was healed. Isaiah 53. By his stripes I was healed. 1 Peter 2:24. There's all kinds of scriptures about Jesus healing people. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Therefore, on behalf of this word, I agree with this word. So therefore, I bind you, cancer, in the name of the Lord Jesus, off of me and my family. Hallelujah. And then we just go to praising and thanking God for it, right? And then finally, this is one part that I had kind of left out for a while. But he continues and says this, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And I was reading Rick Renner's book, chapter 1 of Life in the Combat Zone, I believe is what it's called. And he was talking about remembering the mercy of God. You know, it's not about getting everything exactly right. You know, sometimes life can just seem in the natural overwhelming with things that need to be done. And he's like, remember the mercy of God, right? And praying in the Spirit, church, is where we really plug into Jesus. Obviously, study the Word. Have confessions that you make that you're believing God for. Have your shield of faith up. But remember, always, 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 always be praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. It's okay to pray things in English, but remember, pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Brother Jesse's been teaching lately on having a secret place, a place of meeting with God regularly. And it's nice when you have an actual place, but one of the things the Lord's been showing me over the past year is that the place in the Spirit is on the inside of me already. It's my own spirit where we commune. So you can be on a city bus. You can be in the middle of a grocery store, right? You can be at a ball game. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just say, come on, come, drop down into your spirit for a minute. We need to commune. And you can just begin to, you're immediately in the Spirit. And praying in the Spirit. And praying in the Spirit, and you will get answers. And you may not even know what you're saying. You can ask God for an interpretation, but sometimes just pray. Just pray in the Spirit. Just pray in the Spirit until the burden lifts off of you. Amen? You don't know what you might be praying for. It might be somebody in another country somewhere. That's what I want to believe God for, church, for Redeemed Church, is that God takes us places in the Spirit. Places in the Spirit. Amen? I've heard Billy Brim and Gloria Copeland talk about
having dreams. There's you know, examples of this in the Bible where Paul says, I'm not sure if I was having a vision of this or if this actually happened, but this man was translated in the spirit realm. And you know, you've seen the story of like Philip, where you know he's just doing his thing, serving God, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit translates him, and he's right in front of somebody that needs to be baptized. And he baptizes the guy and blesses him, and boom, the Holy Ghost takes him somewhere else, right? And I've heard like Billy Brim and Sister Gloria talk about having a dream, and they're in their dream, they're preaching and baptizing people, and then they wake up and they're like, man, that seemed real. And then they start thinking, you know what? Maybe that was real. Maybe the Lord supernaturally took me somewhere while I was sleeping in the spirit, and I was in some remote part of the world doing something, and then he translated me out. I mean, come on. Somebody say, be open to things God wants to do in our lives, in our nation, right? Amen? Jude 20 says this, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want every time when we come to church, we are coming into the Spirit. And the reason that we're doing it is because all of us have spent all week practicing it. And then when we come together, that just explodes, man. And then somebody that comes out that is really hurting and going through some things instantly gets the deliverance of God, the faith of God, the encouragement of God, and we begin to see him just pour out of this place in the spirit realm and do awesome signs and wonders. Amen? So somebody say, stay in the spirit. Stay in the spirit. Be praying in the spirit at all times. Hallelujah. Let's just do that right now. Just pray the Holy Ghost. I believe everyone in this room is baptized in the Holy Ghost. If you've never prayed in other tongues, just receive it. Just say, Father, I receive the baptism of your Holy Spirit today. Amen. You just want to make sure you're born again first. If you're not, maybe you're listening to this later online. Just say, Jesus, I receive you as Lord of my life. Confess all my sins to you, and I receive my forgiveness and my cleansing. And I receive the baptism of your Holy Spirit, evidence of praying in other tongues. Just begin to pray in the Spirit. The Lord will remind us that this doesn't come from up here. This doesn't come from up here. It comes from down here in your spirit. And sometimes while you're praying in the spirit, you'll get like a jolt of a thought will come to your head. And you know, man, that's something that God just interpreted for me to know in the natural. Amen? Glory, 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 glory to God. Glory, 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 glory to God. Ke lo do shite yatana ke shito ne. Ke la la le ne. Hallelujah. I believe God would say that there is a rest for my people that the world does not understand. For the devil will not let them rest. He will not allow them peace. They go and 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 they are going nowhere, God says. Be about my rest. Enter into my rest. This place of the Spirit is a place of continual refreshing and replenishing and encouragement. You are not called to live outside of this world, but you can shut out the world and its thoughts and its imaginations by simply coming in to the spirit realm. I will help you, God says, with every area of your life. I am here to help you, to counsel you, to guide you, to lead you, to show you actions to take, things to do, things not to do,
Kole de shitana. I will give you a listening ear, a sensitive ear to hear my voice. Kove shitalavi mashotone. I have much, 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 much to share with you. Plug in, God would say. Plug in, hook up. Keep the switch of faith turned on, and you'll just be amazed at the places I take you, the things that you do, the things that you see, the changes that take place even in your nation, even in your communities, even in your families, even in things that look like they would never change. They will be changed. Hallelujah. Somebody just thank the Lord for this. God, we praise you today. We praise you and we thank you and we give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' mighty, mighty, mighty name. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Somebody say stay in the spirit. Stay in the spirit, man. That's where the victory is. Amen. Praise God. Pray. Don't let anybody talk you out of it, including yourself. Amen. Lindsay? Yeah, come on up. Praise the Lord. The graduate has something to share. Amen.
Okay. I already told Nanny this yesterday, I think, about the prophecy word that God gave me. So I was just having really beautiful time in prayer yesterday, and I was reading Psalm 119. I didn't read the whole thing, but I started at I think verse 97, and it just starts out as oh, how I love your law, and it just goes deeper and deeper into that. And then there's one part that says your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. And I was thinking, it's if you're tired of hearing all those unpure words around you every single day. And he brought up today, when I was sitting there, he brought up the word, specifically tiresome words. If you're hearing tiresome words throughout the day, if you'll just open, especially Psalm 119, it just filled my heart again. And I found this one, I like it in the King James Version. It said, that's not it. Hold on. Well, I'll just read it out of this one. It basically said, it is time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your laws as void. And I clearly heard in my spirit God say, it's time for me to act. And I think he's talking about America, what we're all going through right now. He's don't be afraid, just keep on praying, because it's time for me to act. And I just felt something happened yesterday. I don't remember what time it was, but in my spirit, I just felt it so strong. I was okay. God's going to do something in America. And so that's what he told me to share, both of those. So there you go.
Amen. Thank you, Lindsay. Praise God. Thank you for your sensitivity. So angels, you have your orders. Amen. That's what you're doing. When you're praying to the Spirit, you're giving angels orders. Somebody say glory to God.